We have been looking the last couple of weeks at the Lord's Prayer, and we want to look at it one more time in this three-week series today. So would you pray this prayer one more time with me? We'll have it up on the screen. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who have trespassed against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now, there are six petitions in the Lord's Prayer. We looked at the first three last week, and we'll look at the last three this week. The first, regard God's glory, and the last three regard our concerns. As I asked you to do last week, I'll ask you to do again this week. Take a look at the notes there in your bulletin and circle the three times the word thy shows up. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So these first three prayer requests regard God's glory. And then circle the word us, as it shows up in the last three prayer requests. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our trespasses and lead us not into temptation. So the last three prayer requests have to do with our burdens, our concerns. And so when Jesus tells us how to pray, we need to pay attention to the order of these prayer requests, not just the content of these prayer requests. Jesus wants us to pray about things that concern us, but first and foremost, he wants us to pray about that which pertains to God's glory, as we looked at last week. But after we pray about God's name and God's kingdom and God's will, it is entirely right to bring our burdens and our concerns to the Lord. But what kind of burdens and what kind of concerns are appropriate to bring before the Lord of hosts? Jesus tells us here, he tells us that we are to bring our needs and our sins and our temptations before the Lord of hosts. So, first of all, write this down. Talk to God about your daily earthly needs and trust him to meet them. Jesus taught us to pray for our daily bread. Understand something about bread in Jesus' day. In our day, bread is that thing that's brought in a basket by your waiter as you munch on it, waiting for your real food to come. But in Jesus' day, bread was the real food. It was nourishment. It was sustenance. It was life itself. And so when Jesus says that we are to pray to God about our bread, he is saying that we are to pray to God about our rent payments. We are to pray to God about shoes for the kids. We're to pray to God about that car repair that needs to happen. We're to pray to God for those things that burden us, concern us about daily life and the here and the now. The last time you prayed, for what did you pray? You probably did not pray about these big world concerns. You prayed about your daily concerns. Isn't it good to know that God wants you to talk to him about the things you want to talk to him about? That's why he says that we're to pray for our daily bread. Some of us need this reminder because I think some of us wonder if, in the big scheme of things, how do we fit in? Do we really count in all the big things that are going on in the world? Is it really something to bother God about when we come to him about things that are so nitpicky and so minor in comparison to all the big things that God has to worry about in this world? Jesus says, don't think like that. Your Father is interested in that which burdens you and concerns you, so bring it to him in prayer. But notice it is our daily bread that Jesus wants us talking about. So much so that Jesus didn't just say it once, he said it twice. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us today, today's bread, is how you could translate this particular petition. So Jesus is leading us to pray about what concerns us, what burdens us now, not what we think might concern us and burden us 5 years from now. He is saying, pray today about what you're facing today. And in teaching us to pray in this way, Jesus is teaching us to live in this way. He is teaching us that if we pray in this way on a regular basis, we will more and more gain trust in our Heavenly Father, and less will we have worry about our future existence. Now, this is a challenge for sure, and it's a challenge for some of us more than others of us. The Bible tells us that we're to think about the direction that our footpaths are taking us, so that means that we ought to look to tomorrow. We ought to look to the future. The book of Proverbs tells us that we ought to be mindful in planning now, so that what we do now will have us well prepared for the future. And so the Bible does tell us that we are to operate life with prudence. But there is a fine line sometimes between being prudent and being worrisome. And the reality is that some of us have crossed that line more often than not. And we justify it by saying that we're just being prudent, when in fact we are just filled with worry. Jesus tells us to pray in this way so that over time, more and more, our trust in God will go up and our worry about our life will go down. We are to pray today about today's burdens. What about tomorrow's burdens? Well, we'll worry about that when tomorrow comes, because we'll continue to pray the Lord's Prayer, not just today, but tomorrow and on into the next week. And so the concerns that we've got for next week will be covered next week when we pray the Lord's Prayer next week. It is this day that we're to pray for this day's bread. So Jesus encourages us to bring our earthly concerns, our daily concerns, to God. But the God who can take care of our daily needs is a God who can take care of our spiritual needs. In John chapter 6, Jesus fed 5,000 people with a boy's sack lunch of loaves and fishes. And the next day, a great portion of that crowd came after Jesus as well, and Jesus criticized them for coming after him for the wrong reasons. So in John chapter 6, verses 26 and 27, Jesus said, "Very truly I tell you, you are looking for me not because you saw the signs I performed, but because you ate the loaves and had your fill. Do not work for food that spoils, but for food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has placed his seal of approval." And verse 34, the people say, "Sir, always give us this bread." And Jesus declared, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Jesus wanted them to know that his ability to provide physical nourishment was a signpost pointing toward his ability to provide them spiritual nourishment. And so that's why the Lord's Prayer continues. It doesn't just lead us to pray that God would give us bread for today, but it leads us on to pray that God would forgive us our sins and lead us not into temptation. So the next request of the Lord's Prayer is how Jesus tells us to do this. Write this down in your notes. When you have broken fellowship with God, he will forgive. When others have broken fellowship with you, you must forgive. Jesus tells us not just to pray, "Give us this day our daily bread," but he says to pray in this manner also, "Forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who have trespassed against us." He will forgive. You must forgive. That's what we have bundled up in this second prayer request pertaining to our needs. So, first of all, when you've broken fellowship with God, Jesus assures us by giving us this prayer request to pray that he will forgive. Now, if you think about it, this is the perfect point in the Lord's Prayer for this request for forgiveness to come. I mean, think about all that we've prayed up to this point. Last week, we looked at the first three prayer requests. "Hallowed be thy name." What are we praying when we pray that prayer? We are praying that God's character, that God's being, that God's promises be honored by us and by all that are around us. The moment we pray that prayer, we remember all the ways that we have not honored God's being and character and worth and promises. Or we are to pray, "Thy kingdom come." We are saying, "Lord, I can't wait for the time that your Son arrives on this earth to set up his kingdom and all its perfection and all its glory." But the moment we pray that prayer, we remember all those ways that we haven't yielded to the authority of the King in our lives. Or we pray, "Thy will be done," as consistently, as joyfully, as sincerely as the angels do it in heaven. But the moment we pray for that prayer to be fulfilled, we remember all those ways we haven't accomplished God's will in that way. So at this particular point in the Lord's Prayer, if we've been praying it the way we should, we will be desperate to know that God wishes to forgive us. And so Jesus says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to pray that God might forgive your trespasses, forgive your debts that you have against Him. Now, I want you to think about it. If this is the way Jesus told us to pray, properly speaking, we probably shouldn't call this the Lord's Prayer. I mean, it is the Lord's Prayer in the sense that this is the prayer the Lord taught us to pray. But it's not the Lord's Prayer in the sense that Jesus shares this prayer with us. Could you ever imagine the Lord of Lords and King of Kings standing shoulder to shoulder with us, hat in hand as a humble penitent before the Heavenly Father saying, Lord, would you forgive my sins? Jesus, the Bible tells us, had nothing to repent of because he had never sinned. The Bible tells us in the book of Hebrews that he was at all points tempted as we are, and yet he did not sin. And yet the one who had no sin, the Bible says, became sin for us. We find it in the book of 2 Corinthians, chapter 5, verse 21. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. What that means is that your sinful record was taken by Jesus and he gave you his record of moral perfection. And we carry that into judgment, his record of moral perfection, so that we are judged by his righteous deeds. Well, what did he do with our sinful record? He bore the consequences of it. He died on the cross to bear away our sinful record. And so think about it. The one who in the Lord's Prayer is teaching us to come to God and ask for forgiveness achieved forgiveness for us on the cross. And so the one who encourages us to come to the Father made a way for us to come to the Father. I wonder if you've ever thought about the fact that Jesus calls on us to call on God for forgiveness. You know what that means? That means that forgiveness was God's idea long before it was your idea. The reality is we all recognize our shame and our brokenness and our failure, and we want to call out to God for forgiveness. And maybe some of us mistakenly think that this is the way this whole thing works. We call out to a God who sort of looks down from heaven, pulls on his chin a little bit, and finally reluctantly says to us, well, I'll let you off this time. But that's not the way we're to understand this whole thing of forgiveness. Forgiveness was God's idea long before it was ours. The Son of God calling on us to call on to God for forgiveness means that God waits to forgive us. He wants to forgive us. But right on the heels of God saying to us, come to me with your need of forgiveness, Jesus says, now I want you to go out of the presence of God and be willing to forgive others the way God is willing to forgive you. And so we see in this second prayer request regarding our needs that Jesus tells us that we're to pray that God would forgive us as we forgive others. When it comes to broken fellowship that we have with God, he will forgive. When it comes to the way others have broken fellowship with us, we must forgive. And I would say this is a really convicting part of the prayer. In fact, I know it's a really difficult part of the prayer for us to pray, because immediately after the Lord's Prayer, of all the things that Jesus talks about, he elaborates on this one point. Now think about this. Of all the profound things, of all the potentially life-changing things that Jesus teaches us in the Lord's Prayer about the name of God, about the arriving kingdom of God, about the will of God, the one thing that Jesus felt we needed further elaboration on was this idea of our need to forgive other people. And so right after the Lord's Prayer in Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, then in chapter 6, verse 14, he goes on to elaborate, for if you forgive men when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. If you do not forgive men their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Do you think that Jesus knew that we needed a little extra help at this juncture in the Lord's Prayer? And so he elaborated on this one point immediately after he taught us how to pray all the requests of the Lord's Prayer. I think so. I think it was C.S. Lewis that said at one point, everyone thinks forgiveness is a lovely idea. That is, until they have something to forgive. And that's true. And so we need to recognize that even as we come and ask God for forgiveness, we need to be ready to grant the forgiveness that we've seen in God out to other people as well. But we really should see this not so much as a threat, but as an encouragement, because this passage is letting us know that if we are as imperfect as we are, we are capable of occasionally rising to moments of forgiving other people, two imperfect people granting forgiveness to each other. If that's the case, don't you know that God in His graciousness is even a grander forgiver than we are? And so this passage is designed to teach us a word of encouragement about God's capability and God's capacity to forgive us. Now, here's the interesting thing. There are so many people in the Christian life who are so willing to come and ask God for His forgiveness, and then they don't bother to ask God for His strength to overcome the power of that sin ongoing in the future. But Jesus tells us that we can't act like that. We can't think like that. And so, in this last of the six prayer requests, Jesus tells us that we are to talk to God about our ongoing temptations. So write this down in your notes. When you talk with God, admit your weakness and trust His strength. When you talk with God, admit your weakness and trust His strength. The last request of the Lord's Prayer has to do with your weakness and God's strength. First of all, it has to do with your weakness. You know, some of us are far too overconfident and self-assured when it comes to the temptations of this world. But in praying the Lord's Prayer, we're reminded again of just how weak we really are. Jesus says that we're to pray, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil." Now, think about what that word evil really means. The Greek scholars tell us that word evil is deliberately ambiguous at that point. What it means is it can refer to the evil thing, or it can refer to the evil inclination, or it can refer to the evil one. And I welcome the ambiguity, because really when it comes to our lives, we have to fight against the evil thing and the evil inclination and the evil one. The old timers used to refer to that as the unholy trinity of the world, the flesh, and the devil. Jesus could have been saying that we're to pray, "God, protect me from the world," not the people of the world whom we are to love, but the world system, the world atmosphere in which we try to go about our lives. You've heard about peer pressure. Maybe you thought peer pressure only arose in middle school and then left you after middle school. It goes all throughout adulthood, doesn't it? We recognize all around us that there is a system set up that is almost designed to pull us away from trust in our Heavenly Father and obedience to our Heavenly Father. And so when Jesus taught us to pray, "Deliver us from evil," maybe what He meant was deliver us from the evil system, the evil thing, that which is around us in this world. Or maybe what Jesus meant was deliver us from the evil inclination within us. In other words, our flesh. The Bible refers to our flesh in this sense, not so much as our skin, but our sin. That inclination that we have within us, that bent to go against what God wants us to do. And when Jesus taught us to pray, "Deliver us from evil," maybe what He meant was deliver us from the evil inclination that is still within us, still alive and kicking. Even after we come into a relationship with Christ, it's dying, but it's not yet dead. Or maybe what Jesus meant was deliver us from the evil one, the devil, Satan, our spiritual opponent. Do you recognize that you have a spiritual opponent? Don't take it personally. He's not really aiming at you. He's aiming at God. He's really opposed to God. But in the process of trying to pull down God, he is opposed to all that God is fond of and all that God is working on. And guess what? You fall in that category. God is fond of you, and He's working on you, and so the evil one has you in his crosshairs. And when Jesus said, "You are to pray in this way, deliver us from evil," maybe what He meant was, deliver us from the evil one. Like I said, I welcome the ambiguity, because really, we have to contend with all three of those things, don't we? So this last request of the Lord's Prayer is really about our weakness, our incapacity. But it's also about God's capacity. It's not just about our incapacity, but about God's capacity. It's not just about our weakness, but it's about God's strength. It's not just about our inability, but it's about God's ability. So we are to pray that God would lead us not into temptation, that He would deliver us from evil. These are strong verbs. These are strong words. First of all, it says, "Lead us not into temptation." Now, what does that mean? Does that mean that if we don't pray this, that God will sort of rub His hands together and bring us into temptation? Not at all. I think we need to understand what this passage means. It's very similar to what we pray when we sometimes pray that old song, "Just a Closer walk with thee. When we sing that song, we come to a line that says, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. And that's the same thing that you're praying when you're praying the Lord's Prayer. What you're saying is, Lord, I don't trust myself. If left to my own devices, I will go in a direction that will ultimately break my heart and break the heart of those that are important to me. Don't let me go where I'm inclined to go. Lead me in the opposite direction. Lead me to where I need to be. And then there's that strong word, deliver. Deliver us from evil. Maybe the best way to understand deliverance today is to look at some superhero movie where somebody like Superman comes in at the last moment and takes somebody who's incapable of rescuing himself and brings him out of that dire situation. Deliverance is what God promises us. And so Jesus tells us that we're to pray that we be delivered from the evil thing or the evil inclination or the evil one. But the point is that God is in the deliverance business. He's in the salvation business. And we're to pray that he would grant that to us. And so we look at these last three prayer requests and we see that God is interested in our burdens. He's interested in our concerns. Just because we are to pray for God's name to be hallowed and God's kingdom to come and God's will to be done, we're to pray for that first and foremost every time we pray. That doesn't mean that we're not to move on and pray these other things as well. But I want to mention three things about these last three prayer requests and then we're done with this study today. Here's the first thing I want to mention about this. In these last three prayer requests, you get a chance to bring your past and your present and your future and lay it before the throne of God. You get to bring your present before the throne of God. Give us this day our daily bread. You get to bring your past before the throne of God. Forgive us our sins. You get to bring your future before the throne of God. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. There's another thing about these last three prayer requests. You have an opportunity to bring into your life the fullness of the triune God as you pray these last three prayer requests. When you're praying, give us this day our daily bread, to whom are you praying? You're praying to God the Father, God the Sustainer, God the Provider. And when you're praying, forgive us our trespasses, to whom are you praying? You're praying to God the Son, God the Holy Sacrifice, God the Savior. And when you're praying, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil, to whom are you praying? You're praying to God the Holy Spirit, God the Sanctifier, God the Purifier. And so all that you are, past, present, and future, brought before all that God is, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, that's what's happening when you're praying these last three prayer requests. But there's one more thing I want to share about these last three prayer requests, and that is that Jesus will not allow you to pray one without the others. Did you notice the little word and in between the last three prayer requests? Give us this day our daily bread and forgive us our sins and lead us not into temptation. Is that word and in between the first three prayer requests? No. It's as if each one of the first three prayer requests could stand alone as a prayer in its entirety by itself. Think about it. If you were to pray, God, hallow your name, is there anything else that you'd really need to say? No. Period. Full stop. God, bring about your kingdom. Is there anything else you'd need to say after that? Probably not. Period. Full stop. God, let your will be done in my life and in my church and in my world. If you prayed that, that would be a sufficient prayer in and of itself. Full stop. But in the last three prayer requests, Jesus won't let you pray one without the others. And so we are to pray that our daily needs would be met. But before we finish praying, we need to pray that God will forgive us our sins. But before we're done with that, we need to pray that God would help us overcome those failures in the future. That little word and joins together these last three prayer requests in an inextricable way. So if we're praying one, we have to pray the others. So when we come before God, we come before God to have an opportunity to experience Him. That's what prayer is all about. Prayer is an opportunity to experience who God is. And when we come to God in prayer in these last three prayer requests, we get to experience Him as our provider. We get to experience Him as our pardon, our pardoner. We get to experience Him as our rescuer. And so let's ask the Lord to let us experience him in that way right now. Would you bow your heads and hearts in prayer with me? And in these last three prayer requests, let's think through how we can know God, how we can experience God. Maybe what some of you need is to experience God in some way as your provider. You just right now, you have a physical need that needs to be met. You have a medical need that needs to be addressed. You have a financial need, and you don't know how it's all going to come together. And Jesus gives us permission and encouragement to bring those burdens to him. So bring them right now and ask that God would give you an experience with him of being your provider. For others of us in here, we need to ask, maybe for the first time or in a fresh new way, that God would show us that he is indeed our forgiver. And maybe what you need to do is ask Jesus to come into your life for the first time and to take away your sin by the work of the cross and begin the experience, what it means to know him in that way. Or maybe some of us in here, we've been believers for a while, but we've entered a stretch of rebellion and apathy and carelessness. We need to turn that over to the Lord in prayer. Or it may be that some of us, what we need to do is ask not only for forgiveness, but for rescue. And maybe we need to pray, Lord Jesus, rescue me from these sins that I continue to bring before you for forgiveness. Give me a fresh awareness of your ability and your strength within me. Lord, we pray that all this would be done so that you would smile with approval when you see us, your son, your daughter. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.